Thanks for the devotional, Ben. Appreciate that. And you know, just like you left off there at the end, we shall yet see a revival like we've never heard of before. If we take the Word of God for what it says and just act on it out of obedience, because that's what revival is. It's obedience to God. And I just want to, before going into the message, just take the opportunity this morning and Lord willing, in 6 days, we plan to move to Liverpool. And I just want to thank the church for the investment that you have invested into our lives thus far and into the lives of our children. And over this time, I put a message out about our washer had stopped working. I think it was on Friday night or something like that. But anyway, I think within like 2 minutes or so, Elmer reached out and said, you know, he has a washer, and then to another person, then to another one. So just, yeah, I just want to express a gratitude for that. Just the caring and the compassion that's here in the church. And we as a family are on the receiving end at this point because we're also getting a lot of meals and things like that. So I just want to say thank you. And I also just want to pray, before going to the message, just pray a blessing over the church here. So God, we just thank you, Lord, for the work you've done, Lord God. God, the work you've done is a work that only you can do, Lord. So God, I just pray a blessing over the congregation here at Cross Keys, Lord God. Yes, it's a local body within the broader body of Christ. But Lord, I just pray for an open heaven over this congregation, Lord. God, from the oldest to the youngest, Lord God, that each one of us could hit the mark for the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. God, I pray for our children represented here, Lord, that each child could give their lives to you, Lord God, that not one would be lost. But Lord, that each child at the earliest age possible, when they receive that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, where they would cry out to God and repent from their sins and receive Christ into their hearts. So Lord, I just lift up a blessing over the congregation here. God, just help us to continue walk together in unity, Lord. Just help us to continue to walk towards that prize, that high calling of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. The last message, which was a few months ago, just want to reflect on that a little bit. It was about going and making disciples. And if you remember, I had a video up here at the end of the little black figures, you know, and it had these questions of, instead of focusing on bringing people into the church, what would it look like to go out? You know, instead of people piling in, there'd be people going out and making disciples. And this morning, I want to put ourselves in that position of, what does it look like to be a disciple? How do we position ourselves to be a disciple? As people come into our lives, older, mature people, how do we position ourselves to be that disciple, to be that work? And I have some steps here, or some Bible verses that I want to be turning to, and there's going to be a few of them, so feel free to turn with me, or you can just listen. But the first step to position ourselves to be a disciple is to be born again. That's the first step. And I just want to read out of here John 8:28. And, you know, Ben shared the salvation plan very beautifully this morning, how God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I think that's the foundation of positioning ourselves to be a disciple. And here in John 8:28, it says, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. And that just ministered to me. Have we seen him lifted up? Have we recognized Jesus on the cross and our sin and our shame on him? And because I think it takes that, you know, we have to recognize that before we can truly appreciate what Christ did for us. We have to see him lifted up, high and holy. And it says, and then shall you know that I am he. And I just want to just bring the gospel message in that way, just to set a foundation for, you know, for positioning ourselves to be disciples. And, you know, after I gave my life to the Lord, there was many things that I was set free from. But there are still things today that I deal with. And I just want to share a work that God did in my heart this week. It was a Monday morning. this time of the year, I have a difficult time not checking in on, especially in the NFL, not checking in on the highlights and the stats, things like that. And so on Monday morning, I was in my office before the work day, and I decided I'm going to watch the highlights from the game prior. And as I was watching there, God had already laid a message on my heart about positioning ourselves to be a disciple. And all of a sudden, he just ministered to me this verse. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and ye shall have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And I used to look at that verse as walking in the light would be giving our life to Jesus. And I'm not taking away from that, but what he ministered to me is, would you do this Tuesday morning prayer meeting? Or would you do it with your family? In other words, he was pointing out that if I'm doing something that I wouldn't just any time of the day with any crowd of people, then I'm not walking in the light. There's not that transparency there. And I can assure you that if Brother Mel would have walked into my office that morning, I would quickly put that away. And I guess that's just my encouragement, along with positioning ourselves to be disciples, is we need to walk in the light. We need to walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. That's what I want. I want every sin cleansed. I want to have fellowship one with another. I want to walk in the light that it doesn't matter if Josh walks into my life 2 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, but it's open. It's just an open book. It's just an open life. There's nothing to hide. Walking in the light. Positioning ourselves to be disciples. Turn with me to Luke 9. Luke 9, 23. I went to Luke 23 there. Luke 9, verse 23. Very familiar. If any man, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? And I read that, I had to think of, right now we're, you could say, 500-year anniversary of since the Anabaptist movement. And I read this book, I think it's called Faith of Our Fathers, and it was written by a Christian aide or one of their representatives on that, and it brought out how, I can't think of their names, Felix Manns, Conrad Grebel, and George, I think they called him George Blaurock because he had a blue coat on. So they called him Blue Rock. But anyway, this verse here is what they used when they were put in that position of denying Christ. One of them made the remark, if I choose to save my life, I will lose it, according to Luke 9:23. But if I choose to lose my life for his sake, I will save it. And with that, he was drowned. But let's go back even further. Let's not stop the faith of our fathers at that point, but what it goes back the whole way to Jesus Christ, because these are his words, and he is the faith of our father. He is the one that we want to go back to. Yes, we can have examples from our forefathers and things like that, but let's go on the whole way back to Christ. And he said that we need to take up our cross daily and follow him. And I guess, what does that mean for y'all or for us as a church? What does that mean to take up our cross daily? You can speak. Getting out of bed in time. Getting out of bed in time to have devotions, you said? Before going to work. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have any thoughts? To put others before ourselves. Yes. Prefer one another. Love our neighbor as ourselves. The thought that came to mind is that something has to die, something that exalts itself up to that lordship that only belongs to Christ himself. And you know, going back to the highlight thing from Monday morning, something was exalting itself. This thing was trying to exalt itself. It was trying to capture my mind away from the lordship of Christ. And this verse, you know, God, he just ministered this to me, that to take up our cross, something has to die. We have to choose to lay something down every day. You know, as we wake up in the morning, we choose to lay something down, something that wants to exalt itself over the lordship of Jesus Christ. And this question doesn't have to be answered, but I will put it out there. What is it in our life today, sitting here, that needs to be laid down? What is it in our life today that needs to be crucified, that needs to be put on the cross, so that the rightful place of Christ, that lordship, doesn't get stolen from him? Because it only belongs to him. If we give our life to Jesus, it only belongs to him. Positioning ourselves to be disciples. Does anybody know what the three F's of discipleship are? There's three F's that people say is like the pattern of being a disciple. The first one is follow. We need to follow Christ. Observe him in such a way. You know, if I train someone in, especially in our line of work, there's a lot of training that goes into to being an electrician. But it's a good trade to be in. Encourage it. But anyway, I usually tell them that stand right beside me here, and I'm going to hook this panel up. And then if you have questions, you know, just ask me questions as I'm doing it. So instead of explaining to them, this goes here, I have them stand right behind me, and I'm here working, and I hook up a circuit breaker, and I let them see everything that I'm doing. Because they need to be observant and to see every move that takes place on how to do it right. And I think it's the same way for Christ. We need to observe his every move. His every move, we need to just watch for that move. How would Christ handle this? What would he say? What did he say? What is he doing? You know, just observe his every move. The next F is fellowship. If we choose to be a disciple of Christ, we need fellowship. We need fellowship with other disciples, other believers. That's very important. That way we don't fall by the wayside, but we're there to provoke one another to love and to good works. And then the last F is fish. We need to start fishing for men. You know, I think that's a key part of being a disciple. Yes, you know, we have someone that's teaching us or mentoring us, whatever, but at the same time, we reach out and we pass that on to someone else. There's something that does to the believer by taking someone alongside and discipling them. We need to follow, have fellowship, and fish, to be fishers of men. John 13:35 is another position, and this goes back to positioning ourselves to be disciples. John 13:35 says, well, I'm going to start in verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. And I don't think that only belongs to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but I had an interview this week, and we have a pretty strong policy against smoking. And I didn't know this man. He called and said that he moved in from Long Island and that he needs a job. He has experience as an electrician. So we met for the interview, and I mean, as I greeted him, I could tell that he was a smoker. And I was like, you know, how's this gonna go? And I prayed, I said, Lord, just send me your love, like, just let my love, your love flow through me. Somehow let me explain it to him without, you know, without coming across as hard or, yeah. So anyway, we had our interview, and I asked him questions like, you know, what do you want people to see, or you know, what do you want people to think of you when they see you walking down the street? And I forget exactly what he answered. But anyway, and also, where do you want to be in 5 years from now? And, you know, a question like that, just to get a vision started. And then I asked him if he would be willing to lay down any habits that go against company policy. And he said he would. And then I asked him that, you know, I can tell you smoke. Is this something you'd be willing to lay down? And he said he would. He said that he has such a hard time quitting. He's tried numerous times, but he feels like if he would have people around him to rally around him and help him out, that he could overcome that. And immediately the word came to my mind, disciple. I see a disciple sitting in front of me. And I felt like God, I mean, we didn't go through the initial hiring process yet, but yeah, not a perfect man, but you know, being open, being transparent, willing to be discipled. That's very key, even for us in our Christian walk. We need to be open. Oh, don't let our heart be closed. We will never advance to where God wants us if we're closed-hearted. We need to be open to dialogue, open to correction, confrontation, whatever. So anyway, back to, by this shall all men know that you are disciples if you have loved one toward another. I think that's a key in being in positioning ourselves to be disciples, have love one for another. And I have another scripture here, John 8:31-32, I think it is. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's saying here that if we continue in his word, that goes back to what Seth said this morning about waking up. If we continue in his word, then are we his disciples. And it doesn't stop there. It says that the truth will be revealed to us, and the truth will set us free. Free from what? Free from bondage, anything that hinders our walk with Christ. If you continue in the word, I think that's just very, very straightforward there. Just continue in the word. And I know sometimes we go through a dry season, and I think I had told Mel here that prior to committing to preach here, I just felt like I was going through a dry season. But I saw God open the way for me to share a message here, and what that did is it took me to the word. And it wasn't long until I was in the word until I noticed that I was starting to get pretty wet. The dry season was I was starting to sense that dryness being taken out. And so every time we need revival, we just have to go to the word and just spend time in the word. I just want to share and this turns into, this has something to do with discipleship as well, but something that I read that I thought was very fitting. If we give our life to Christ and choose to be a disciple, then what was originally a mess will turn into a message. And what was this large, unmoving test in our life turns into a testimony. And this gigantic, enormous mountain of a trial that we're facing turns into a triumph. And last but not least, the victim turns into a victory. You know, there's many things that, you know, we can be a victim to. But as we take on Christ and choose to be a disciple, that turns into a victory. The thing that we were a victim to, whether it was pornography, whether it was masturbation, whether it was critical spirit, critical attitude, you know, or unbelieving or deceit, anything like that, turns into a victory as we follow these steps of discipleship, of reaching out to Christ, following Him, observing Him, having fellowship one with another, have someone in our life that can minister to us, and then we minister to someone else. We go out and fish for men. It turns a mess into a message. It turns a test into a testimony, and a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victory. I have a short message this morning because I wanted to take the next step into discipleship. And I would like for each of us to take about 10 minutes and find someone here, you know, preferably with an age difference, and just really start pouring into their lives. Start pouring into each other's lives. Start confessing things that are weighing us down, that are hindering us. And then after that, Mel, you can close with the service.